Welcome to all of you from me and from South Wales Baptist College. We are a very nice, very friendly, small college. There is about 16 to 18 of us doing different parts of our course, of our 3 years ministerial training course. And if you would like to come and visit us, we are always welcoming people, and we would be really happy to see all of you. We've been doing some different things in college this term. We've been trying to experience God in all sorts of areas of life, if you should like. So we've been doing things like watching films on Wednesday afternoon together and discussing what has God taught us about Himself in this specific film. We visited the Zenith a few weeks back and spoke to one of our AMs and said, what are you planning for this region that we can help as Christians and we can bring God into it? So there are very, very exciting things happening in college. I myself am a youth pastor, trained youth pastor, and I have been a youth pastor in a church in Newport for nearly 6 years now, and I am training as well, and I am the assistant minister in another church in the area. So I'm located in two different churches at the moment, with two different, totally different groups of people. So you can imagine how difficult that is. It is a pleasure to be here with you this morning, to be sharing with you this morning, and if you could, with me, open your Bibles in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I love the scriptures because it is like it paints pictures to us of the things that God is trying to do, and introduces with characters that are good characters and bad characters, so we can learn from these characters how we can better experience God. This morning I was watching cartoons with my daughter. I have a little girl and she's 4, and we have breakfast together generally every day. It's the only time we can get together normally, because she goes to school and I go and do other things and I don't come back home until late. So we have breakfast together and we watch a cartoon together. And this morning, we were watching Transformers Prime. Transformers Prime. So my daughter and I, 4 years old little girl, were watching Transformers Prime. And she knows that Optimus Prime is the ultimate good. She knows that he's the goody, and she loves Bumblebee. And if you have seen the cartoon, and if you know what I'm talking about, Prime is a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a massive truck lorry that transforms himself into a super fighting robot guy. And he fights against ultimate evil, Megatron and his troops, who are there to destroy the world and to dominate and to bring darkness all around. And my daughter turns to me, and she's 4 years old, and she looks and she says, Daddy, goodies and baddies don't know how to play together, do they? And I look at her and say, no, sorry, sweetie. Darkness and light don't go together, because wherever there is light, darkness will flee. And she says, yes, because Jesus died for us. And she's 4 years old, and my heart just melts down. And this, what we're going to read here, is very much about light coming into a dark place. So let's read from verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way to met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all treasures of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting on his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stand near it." Then Philip ran out to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and traveled about preaching the gospel in all towns until he reached Caesarea. I am passionate about Scripture, absolutely passionate about Scripture, because it is introducing us with two very different characters here. We have one person who knows God, one person who knows Jesus, and one person who listens to God. One person who listens to God. And it's very, 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 I can't stress how very important it is that we all listen to God. Now, if I ask you here, probably, when was the last time you heard God speaking to you in a loud voice and put your hands up? I probably wouldn't have many hands up, including mine. Because that's not how God speaks to us. God speaks to us through his own ways. Now, if I asked you the same thing, have you ever heard God speaking to you? All of you would probably put your hands up, because at some point you heard God speaking to you. You felt God speaking to you. You had the picture of God speaking to you. Or you read scripture and God spoke to you. So if you could repeat with me, listen to God. Listen to God. If God speak, I will do. That is very important. That is crucial. I'll tell you a personal story. About 3 years ago, I was sitting in my office doing some work. I say my office is my dining room table, because, you know, paperwork everywhere. So I was sitting in my dining room table doing some work. And I had a phone call in Skype. It was my uncle. And my uncle was like a father to me. He was a fantastic man of God. He was the head of the Bible college where I went to when I went to Bible college the first time in Brazil. So we were very incredibly close together. He was like a mentor, a role model to me. And he rang me to say, "I'm going on traveling. I am really excited," because he was doing some business. And he had a huge plot of land back in Brazil with his wife. And they were selling it because they were going to input all that money into mission trips and to raise missionaries to go all around the country. So they felt God selling to them, "Sell all that you've got and input that money into the Bible college. We want to train people." And he was so excited. He said, "I think we are nearly there selling this farm, this plot of land. And I have to go there because I have to close the deal. So I have to fly off there really quickly." And I felt like in here, I don't feel here. I feel here. You know, I feel about here. I felt in here. I felt like I was a bit hungry at the time. But I also felt God saying to me, tell him not to go. And during that conversation with my uncle, I was also having that conversation with God. I didn't hear God speak to me, but I just felt, tell him not to go. It's not the time. Tell him not to go. But you know, he was so excited, and you know, he was so full of hope that the deal was going to be closed. And I thought, this is just me. It's just me being silly. I won't see him for a few weeks. I won't speak to him for a few weeks. So you know, that's probably what it is. You know, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. 2 days later, I had a phone call from my dad. And it was the worst phone call I've ever had. He said, Raf, your uncle, Marcelo, was in a really terrible car crash. And they were stopped in the road where there were some road works, and a lorry lost its brakes and run the car over. And he was with another two people in the car, his brother-in-law and his son-in-law, and they all died instantly. It was the worst time of my life. It was the worst time of my life. And I don't know if I blame myself for not speaking, because he would probably think, Raf, you're just being silly, you know. But when God speaks to you, when God speaks to you, he is on the process of saving lives. And if you do not do what God's telling you to do, you may be the person, or you may be the reason why others are not being saved, or why others are not surviving. And I don't want to put myself into that position again. So from then on, I promised myself that if I heard God speaking to me again, I would do whatever he asked me to do. Because if it's just myself, you know, things will just carry on and happen. But if it is God, people will get saved. People will prosper. And God will work. And nobody dies. So here is Philip, a man who listened to God, a man who was open to hear from God. He had a relationship with Jesus. And it is amazing, the verse, it goes straight into it, and it says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, if I tell you, this road was a bit like the M4. It connected Jerusalem to Gaza. It was a very incredibly busy road connecting South Wales up to London. Okay, cars whooshing up and down the countryside. And this time was chariots. And here was the eunuch in his chariot, which was a little bit like a Porsche at the time. You know, his chariot. And he was in his Porsche there with some of his counterparts. He didn't travel alone. He traveled with some of other slaves and servants that were serving him. And it's amazing what happens then, because as soon as Philip heard the angel speak to him, he said, so he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian. So he started out. As soon as the angel spoke to him, he started out. I don't know what that means to you today, but for me, it's almost like God is saying he's got an urgency for saving, for building, and for transforming lives. You know, it's I'm a bit of a reluctant person. I don't like getting out of my comfort zone. So when I started as a youth minister, I was like, yeah, I am good at this stuff. I'm good with teenagers. I know how they work. I know how they work up here and down there. I can do this, right? And then my minister came to me and said, Raf, I think you've got massive potential to go to college and become a minister. And I looked at him and I said, what? I don't want to become a minister. Come on. Look at yourself. You are old and decrepit. And look at me. I'm beautiful and young. I don't want to become you. That's what I was saying on the inside. I didn't really say that. But you know what? God kept saying to me, Raf, I think you need to do this stuff. I am preparing you for these things that you have for yourself and for the ministries I am going to give you. So I think it is good for you to go to Bible college. And it took me a couple of years to catch up with God. But God's got an urgency that if we wait too long, we carry on stopping God's own work here on earth. And we don't want to do that. Because when we do the jobs that God's got for us, the blessed ones are ourselves and the people around us. Correct? So here's this meeting. We have this meeting. And Philip meets with this guy, an eunuch. And don't be too covered up by the eunuch's position as the queen's, Candace Queen's treasurer holder. He was a slave. He was a foreigner in a strange land. In some ways, he was a handicapped man, with his own manhood taken away from him so he could develop his job. And this man was a man who was seeking for something. He was searching and looking. Because it says here that he went down to Jerusalem to worship, verse 27. But it then says that he didn't know who he was worshiping. You see, I believe that the world outside, whatever people tell you, the world outside of the church is in a massive surge of search. They are searching for life. They are searching for truth. And they are searching for reality. We are all searching for the same things. But the difference is that when we are searching for these things, we put our trust in God. Because He knows the ways of righteousness. And He is the one that anoints us with the oil. But when people don't have God to do the search from, they put that search in themselves. And I don't know if you've been in that position before, but when you don't have God to help you with that stuff, it gets heavy. It gets heavy and it gets weary. And we transform ourselves into gods of our own making. So whatever happens to the rest of the world is not a problem as long as it doesn't affect me. Because I am my own God. Are you with me? But this man was a man searching. How many of us have seen in the news, or we may have met some of the refugees were fleeing away from war. some of the people who have been terribly affected have lost everything. People have died during crossings. In some ways, they are spiritually handicapped. They can't worship their own God. We all have been in the position of the eunuch at some point in our own lives, in our own search. So tell me, who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? Who is the sheep? Who is this lamb? Who is this person that can give meaning to my own life and transform my view of the world and transform my own life and bring me into a country of my own? Because I belong to the kingdom of God, who transpasses all the barriers and boundaries of country and nations. Who is this man he's talking about? He asked. Have you ever doubted? Jesus, where were you? I tell you, I've doubted many times. Not just that once when I just shared with you about my uncle. I doubted. God, where were you? Have you had that feeling before? Do you know what? Philip spends time with this man. Says here in verse 27, so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, and they spent time together. Whichever length of time that he was going on that journey from Jerusalem to Gaza, it was about a 3-day journey on a chariot. See, the Bible doesn't tell us that, but we can research that. And we can discover those little things. And the amazing thing is that during that journey, by journeying together, the eunuch could see in Philip characteristics that he wanted on his own life. And they talked about baptism at some point. Probably the first Baptists. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But went on his way rejoicing. You know, when the Spirit comes, when God works, there is an immense amount of freedom that transforms our lives. He went on his way rejoicing, because at the beginning he did not know, but at the end he knew. And knowing gives us immense amount of freedom. Because now he knows who he can worship. And Philip carried on his way. Carry on listening to God. Carry on preaching the words. It says he preached in every town until he reached Caesarea. We know it was quite a long way away down the line. He was just preaching. How do we preach? big question. How do we express God to people? Is it only with our words and with our knowledge? You see, Philip started from where the eunuch was standing. He was reading the scriptures. Many people today are not going to be reading the scriptures, but they're going to be asking important questions. Are they going to be searching for truth in their relationships, marriage, work, circumstances, studies? Start from where the people are and move them on towards God. And if there is a lesson to learn from today's reading of the scripture, is that we are probably better to be a bit more like Philip and listen to God and act upon what God does, and less like Raph, who is very reluctant and sometimes doesn't. So we can see the kingdom of God coming here to earth, and we can see transformation in our neighborhood. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for such characters like Philip, who are full of your spirit, full of your life, full of living, and listen to you. But not just listen to you, he also engaged and did what you wanted him to do and went through great lengths to get your work done here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we know that we are all your representatives here. And we pray that our ears will be opened, our eyes will be opened. Like wrath, maybe our stomachs will be opened to your word. So that your work will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.